Welcome back. Ping, this is episode 118. There's no energy today.
Yeah, no.
Look, are you going to join? Are you going to come? Are you
sure.
Here? You going to phone it in?
118? Yeah.
118. 118 episodes of People, usually Paul and I, delivering you the hottest news that Microsofties are pinging about. That's right. And last week we had a lot of good comments.
Yeah.
A lot of people wanted to debate whether or not cursive really mattered anymore.
Sure.
And I feel like I won that debate.
Sure, yeah.
As I usually do in matters of debate.
Because you were like, cursive is important.
No.
And that's what the viewers agreed
with. Cursive clearly has no relevance on today's society.
Yep.
However, STEM education, I'm going to put the volume down, buddy. STEM education does. And I feel that, and I'm just going to go out on a limb here, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
As I think that many of our commenters agree with. In fact, TSR Bike is a person who agrees with me.
Yeah.
That no matter what field you're going to go into, even if it's a creative field, having a background in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math is going to be crucial in the age of technology.
Is that what he said?
That's what I said, and he agrees with me.
Oh, okay.
This is my own original thought.
I thought he was saying that he was in a STEM field. And then he wasn't doing all that well in it, so then he jumped to a non-STEM PhD, bioethics.
But you need to have a STEM background to go into bioethics. Even if you're going to go into advertising, I feel like you need to have a background in STEM. This is my thoughts.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's really what he's trying to say with that comment.
I mean, I just skimmed his comment.
Right.
It's really long.
Yeah. It was about three paragraphs.
TLDR?
Yeah. There's a semicolon in there. Anyway, someone said, welcome back, Paul. That was Martin Mine. And
yeah.
And Herb was saying that he put Windows 8 on his 2730p. Yeah, I do have the 2740p, which has the touchscreen. I haven't put Windows 8 on here yet. Maybe I'll do the fancy like Windows 7 boot from VHD thing.
Yeah.
And see how
I suggest
I can...
that's the route you take.
Sure, of course. And someone else said, oh, Sergio was like, and Paul, this is probably the best comment.
Yeah.
You look a little pale. So. Was there no sun in Shanghai?
If it wasn't for the makeup we apply prior to rolling cameras, Paul would be translucent.
Yep.
Let's start the show.
Okay. All right, Laura, so you know a wise person once told me that you need to fish where the fish are.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, fish where the fish are.
And that's exactly what we have been trying to do with our Windows Phone developer strategy, where we have been reaching out to iPhone developers.
Right.
We have been reaching out to Android developers. We've even been reaching out to people that that had developed apps for the touchpad, which has gone the way of the dodo. And now we are reaching out to one of our biggest partners, developers, Nokia.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be huge. This was announced at Mobile World Conference in February of this year, 11. I was there, but, you know. And, yeah, this is going to be a huge global partnership, and so obviously we need to get those developers developing for our new Nokia devices.
That's right.
And we've made it easy in terms of, which, like you said, the iPhone and the Android. We gave them tutorials,
yep, tutorials
on how to port their apps,
yep,
right?
And we also had this thing called the Windows Phone Mapping Tool, which like analyzes your code and says, like, here are some of the classes that are similar in our SDK as compared to other SDKs. And now we have extended that tool so that we can look at the Symbian Qt.
Right.
So we can look at their SDK and we can say... the same type of thing where it's like we analyze the code and we say, okay, these types of things can be ported in this way, and here's a 100-page white paper that will help you.
Nice, easy, light reading. And to be clear, it's not going to do it for you.
Right.
It's not going to port the app
still,
for you.
Still, although no magic wand.
I still feel like we should create that tool. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there to my Windows dev guys
also,
on the Windows Phone team.
We should also write code to fix world hunger.
I agree.
I don't know why we haven't invented that yet.
I don't know why. We've got some smart people here at Microsoft.
Yeah.
But it will show you what you need to do to port the apps. And this is exciting, and I think I read, don't quote me, but the first Nokia Mango device will be debuted next month. That would be October in London.
Cool.
Yes, so they're coming, and we need to get the developers out there. And so you can get this guide. It was released yesterday or last week, so we'll give you a link to it. And if you are planning to... try to cash in on all the people using Nokia Windows phones.
Yeah.
This will help you.
Yep. And you can also attend the Nokia Windows Phone Training Roadshow, which is going all over Europe, starting in Paris and then going to,
I should go to that.
Milan, Madrid, Berlin, London. And then there's one that's in Sydney that's already sold out, in Melbourne and Brisbane. So
Brisbane. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Melbourne. It's Melbourne, not Melbourne.
Oh, and the other one was Foster's.
Paul, there are a few things that happened in my life that really kind of well me up, you know. One of them is when that trash man sang on the X Factor the other night, and like, this song about
him. It reminded me of Susan Boyle.
No, it was better, and I got a little welled up. He was talking about the sun, and it brought tears to my eyes.
Did it?
And the other thing that brought tears to my eyes was a partnership between Bill Gates and Bill Clinton, where they're going to help 100 million low-income families get access to broadband internet.
100 million.
100 million. Because I don't know how I got through school. I don't know without the internet. But apparently,
plagiarism.
That helped. You know, the Encyclopedia Britannica wrote a lot of my papers for me. But seriously, in today's day and age, obviously, there's a massive disadvantage to not be able to not only do research online, but, you know,
it's the collaboration between, like, you and your peers, and being able to, like, run ideas by people in a very, either in a very quick manner through instant messaging, or in an asynchronous manner through, like, emailing people and, like, waiting for a response.
Right, and just efficiency of scheduling and school meetings and things like that. So,
And if you ever, like, remember something but you don't quite remember it, you can just go to a search engine and type in, like, two or three search terms, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I
mean. Oh, yeah. Or if you're ever arguing with someone and you need to know who directed what movie.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how. I really don't know how I
guess that is what's important at art school at NYU is to argue about things like that.
You know, that and who painted the Sistine Chapel, you know, stuff like that.
The clearly other thing, it was Michelangelo.
It's Leonardo da Vinci. Look it up! No, it was Michelangelo. Anyway, they will be, when is this launching, Paul? He says that there are 100 million families out there that they're going to help.
100 million people.
100 million families.
According to the FCC, there are approximately 100 million people in the U.S. without access to broadband. 100 million
families
would be 230
million people. Okay, but we're going to help 100 million students from low-income families. And I'm not quite sure.
No, 9.5 million students of the 100 million people that don't have access.
It says they're going to help 1 million students from low-income families obtain broadband internet access through a 3-year commitment with the Clinton Global Initiative.
It says, paragraph 2, according to the FCC, there are approximately 100 million people in the U.S.
Right.
Without access to broadband.
Okay.
Within that 100 million, there are 9.5 million students.
Yes, that fall into a category known as digitally excluded.
Right.
Anyway, a lot of people are going to be helped.
Yes.
I think this article is contradicting itself. And I wonder what that means, though, just access to broadband internet. Because they're not going to put it in their homes. Because then they would assume they had a computer. Are they going to open up in the libraries, perhaps? Like, where would they, how would they make this possible, Paul?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be likely a number of things.
At the schools?
Yeah, so I think pretty much every school out there has broadband internet today. If not,
in Appalachia, you think they have broadband internet?
I bet they do.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay. You
should. Later.
But yeah, I think it's probably a mix of things between, like, public locations where they can go to access this stuff, maybe subsidies for laptops, or subsidies for internet at home, and or maybe partnering with, like, local businesses like Comcast or Time Warner or whatever.
All right. Well, I hope this works out. I'm a huge fan of Bill Clinton and a pretty big fan of Bill Gates, so... Power to the Bills.
That's right.
Not the Buffalo Bills. So, Paul, obviously, Windows 8 is making a lot of news lately.
Yeah.
You know, they had the Build conference. It's just all a buzz and all a tweeting and all a Facebooking, and people are talking about it. And one of the things that Windows 8 relies heavily on is the Metro design.
Yeah.
Also used by...
Windows Phone 7.
And apparently, they won at the Industrial Design Society of America several awards, and one of them being the People's Choice Awards.
Yeah, I love that the people are choosing that they really like this interface.
Yeah, they love it.
What I also love is that there are copycats out there. Like, a friend of mine has an Android device, and he's like, look, I can get your funny little UI on my device.
Right?
And I'm like, so he puts it up there and shows me the tiles.
Yeah.
But the tiles aren't live tiles.
Right.
And when you try and, like, scroll from page to page, it does, like, the ancient page up technology where it doesn't do like the smooth scrolling.
Right.
And I was like, that's a cheap knockoff.
It is a cheap knockoff, and there's a few apps on Windows Phone where you can get a knockoff of the iPhone interface. And I've tried it, and let me tell you, honestly, unbiased opinion, I'm all about the Metro design.
Yeah.
So I just want to point out here the other awards that they won. They picked up awards for interaction and best in show. Best in show.
Yep.
So it's called the IDEA 2011 Awards. We want to congratulate the Windows Phone team. And, you know, and I love, to me, the most important award is the People's Choice Award.
Yeah.
Because the people using the phone.
And it reminds me of Nickelodeon growing up, where I watched the Teen Choice Awards.
Right. I wonder if they got slimed.
Oh, I bet.
At the IDEA Awards.
I bet they did.
That'd be awesome. All right, Paul, I don't know if you've heard of Matt Rosoff.
Nope.
Yeah, neither had I, but apparently he's a writer for Business Insider, and he is, dare I say it, a Windows fanboy.
Is he?
He is.
You think so?
Yeah, a little bit, which I appreciate.
Yeah?
I enjoy that about him, but he wrote an article, How Windows Made Your Life Better, and You Don't Even Appreciate It! And it calls out some of the things that Windows has done, as opposed to other operating systems made by other companies, that, you know, you really gotta give the old pat on the back for to Microsoft, for sort of enabling these ideas and this sort of genius creation.
Yeah, I really don't think that anyone can disagree that Windows has changed the way that people and businesses throughout the world realize their full potential.
Right.
I mean, seriously, there.
Did you read that off some marketing page somewhere?
No, that's the mission statement that Microsoft has had. Now, apparently you didn't pay attention to new employee orientation 6 or so years ago when you joined.
Oh, I was very tired.
Or 10 or 100, I don't remember how long.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
You were one of the founders of Microsoft, weren't you?
Yeah, I drive that car just for fun.
Yeah, I had the Ford Focus, or mm-hmm. whatever it is, with sync technology in it. Anyway, back to the story. So the author of the story, Matt, goes through and lists off a bunch of things that he feels that people underappreciate how difficult they've been
right.
in order to make Windows, the Windows ecosystem, the way it is today. Like, the first thing he lists is that Windows works on a huge range of hardware.
This is true.
This is absolutely true.
This is a huge selling factor.
Yeah, well, it's huge in the sense that we can enable partners who then can, like, make money mm-hmm. based on, selling the Microsoft platform.
That's where you're from a business perspective.
Yeah.
From a consumer perspective, it's like, I've got all these different choices of laptops to choose from rather than just, you know, three.
Right, and you can get like an Alienware
one.
I
have an Alienware one. You can get a fun red one and put little stickers on it.
Nice.
So, I agree. Huge range of hardware.
The one that I thought had been most important over the last 30 years was the second one he lists, which is a lot of apps.
Mm-hmm.
So, being able to have just like tons and tons of apps on your computer, like, people need to do things, so they buy an app, and that app generally had only worked for Windows in the past. So being able to have the best of breed apps, or the apps that are of the lowest cost that can get you mm-hmm. what you need to do to get the job done.
Right.
So from a productivity standpoint. Yeah, I mean, productivity, but there's also, like, PC gaming has been an absolutely huge industry.
Yep.
So being able to be able to, like, easily purchase games that work on your computer and have the latest hardware that can then support those games.
And to tell you the truth, I'm going to take it old school. I still prefer, when playing a first-person shooter, a mouse and keyboard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's still, you know, I love me some Xbox, don't get me wrong. But when you want to, like, zone in.
Was that putting on some like 7.2 headphones?
Yeah, there's some like Bose like noise canceling.
Yeah, I've got Beats by Dr. Dre.
Yeah, I'll bet you. I've got Pauly D's
with the
rhinestones.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so that's good. Another thing he says, old apps keep working even with new versions of Windows.
That was actually one thing that we kind of got dinged with Vista is the backwards compatibility story for the first time wasn't working as well as previous OSs had. But I'm really happy to say that with Windows 7, backwards compatibility again was a massive focus. We even did things like have Windows XP in like a virtual environment on Windows 7. So if you did have an app
right.
that couldn't be ported, you could run it in that virtual environment.
In XP mode.
Yep.
You know, and this is true, I know we're talking about Windows, but Microsoft as a whole, this is true of the Xbox 360. You can play regular Xbox games on.
Yeah, not all of them, but you can play a lot of them.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Whereas the PS3 is not backwards compatible. You cannot play PS2 games on a PS3.
Yeah, I actually haven't played the PS3 before, so I played Rock Band on it once, and everything looked kind of weird and different. So
better on the Xbox.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll let you guys run through. There's a couple things that, you know, you can just plug and play. You don't need extra software. Easy to connect to the web. Yeah.
And you guys should let us know what your favorite part of Windows is.
You should. And if you're fooling around with Windows 8, you should let us know what your favorite part
don't
of Windows 8
gossip,
is.
Don't be a gossip, though.
Don't be a what?
Don't be a gossip.
No.
A gentleman never kisses and tells.
That's right. All right, that's enough of this story. All right, Paul, that's the end of this week. I feel like we went long this week.
No,
we had a lot to say.
I think we went short.
Do you?
Yeah.
You just like to disagree.
I do.
Anyway,
the
Twitter competition is coming to a close. I think I need about 30 more followers.
You need 43 more.
I need 43 more. By the time this airs, it'll probably be 30 more followers. Paul needs about 400 more.
No,
so just
no.
Jump on board.
393.
Oh, okay. About 400. God, you're argumentative today. So follow me at Elfoy.
At Paul Ness.
At whatever he said. And that's it for this week. And we will see you next week. Is there anything else you want to say, Paul?
I would start tweeting more, but I would rather have people become my subscriber on Facebook now that there's a new subscriber and subscription.
Don't
idea.
Back out of this competition like a coward.
So follow me at
yellow stripe running down your back.
Paul.Nestemaker.
At Elfoy. See you next week.